You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson, in for Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. It's peak holiday party season, and one dilemma you might have about these parties is what to bring.
Well, don't worry. We put Food Friday regular Lori Skelton on the case. We asked her to experiment with side dishes for holiday parties for this edition of Food Friday.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What is your go-to side dish for potluck parties at this time of year, and what do you typically bring to holiday parties to share with your friends? And what if you don't know what allergies people might have to food or what other dishes will be at the party? What do you do then? You can call now with your go-to recipes at 800-642-1234, and you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Lori Skelton joins us now. She's one of WPR's in-house foodies and a Food Friday regular. Lori, welcome back.
Good to be here. Thanks.
So what would you say makes a good, solid holiday party side dish?
I like to think of easy, because who wants extra work at this time of the year? Make ahead, preferably tasty at room temperature.
Yes, I agree.
But if you are going to bring something that should be served hot, I would suggest you think of something that you can make in a crock pot and then bring the crock pot with you. And when you bring a crock pot to a gathering, go ahead and err on the side of caution. Bring along a power strip as well, because invariably what happens, I mean, you may not know the layout of the kitchen or the buffet table. If you are always going to need an extra outlet or two. So bring along your power strip as well. So that's a good thing to start with. Crock pot is always a great idea at a holiday party. But from there on, this is one where I didn't just rely on my own instincts. I asked everybody I knew for suggestions. And we even put a suggestion up on the Central Time Facebook page. And I did take Missy Michelle's suggestion for making Persian rice. I brought that in earlier today. I don't know if I would recommend this for taking to somebody's house, but if you're hosting the gathering and you want a really amazing rice dish, Persian rice takes a lot of different steps, but I think it's really, really worth it. This is the kind of rice that is boiled first to get it soft but not mushy, and then you mix some of it with yogurt and mound it in your dish that's going to steam it so that the bottom gets crispy. Mm-hmm. It's called tadig, and it's the part of the rice dish that is most prized around a Persian table. So you've got a little bit of crispy rice and a lot of soft, well-flavored rice. I was really, really impressed. So, Missy Michelle, thank you for that suggestion.
And you can dress that one up. You can elaborate on it, right? You can put in nuts and cranberries, dried fruit, lots of things.
Absolutely. I made the batch today with a great deal of saffron, and that's going to give it a bitter edge. And a lot of people said, I love the taste, but I wouldn't mind some sweetness. How about throwing in some golden raisins? Mm-hmm. How about throwing in some almonds? If you don't know the saffron preferences of your group, however, do pull back, because I had several people tell me this was so bitter it tasted like a cleaning product.
Not a good thing.
I happen to love that bitterness, but it's not a favorite of everyone. So that's one you may want to keep in mind. The easiest way to do what you'd call a jeweled rice would just be to make up some wonderful rice. Basmati is always a great touch. And then mix in a little bit of broth and butter, and then add your dried fruits, your nuts. That doesn't take as many steps. It's just as delicious and probably a little bit prettier, depending on what you throw in.
And my favorite add-on into a rice dish like that is pomegranate seeds.
Because
they're beautiful. They give that extra little burst of flavor. And you know, I'm so happy that a friend taught me how to get the seeds out of a pomegranate without staining myself and half of the kitchen.
How do you do it?
I do it in a bowl of water.
Okay.
So I rip it apart in water. You have the pith and the membranes that still stay with the skin, and all the seeds flow to the top.
Yes.
So you just scoop
handy.
Them right out.
I know I've seen several people suggest cut the thing in half and then whack it with a wooden spoon. I tried that, and my ceiling looked like Jackson Pollock in blood. It was just not pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, on that image, we're going to move on to another salad. Yeah, you experimented with a chop and toss salad. What was that?
Jennifer Hadley at Wisconsin Public Television suggested this. It's a broccoli salad with dried cherries. And I thought, really? Broccoli and cherries? And I tried it. I loved it, brought it in for the pledge drive last week, and it was gone instantly. We've got this on the Central Time Facebook page, and Jen's suggestion to me was, here's what I do, but you can also do. Mm-hmm. So I've put as many possible options with that recipe as you can come up with. You blanch your broccoli briefly, cut it into tiny florets so it's bite-sized. Mm-hmm. Blanch it briefly, and then mix it with minced yellow pepper. I want the yellow pepper for that great color contrast. Besides, it looks like something for the Packers with the green and the yellow. And then dried cherries. You could use craisins, you could use raisins if you like, but I thought the cherries and the broccoli were amazing together. Then she had a sweeter balsamic vinaigrette. If you want to make this straight vegan, you can use sugar with your balsamic and your oil. I actually made mine with honey. Mm. And bumped it up a little bit. I thought it was amazing.
We're talking with Lori Skelton right now, one of our in-house foodies here at Wisconsin Public Radio, getting ideas for what to bring to that potluck holiday gathering, especially when you have no idea what everybody else is bringing. You don't know allergies. What are some of your greatest hits? And Lori's sharing some of hers right now. And Lori, apples, you said, are your friend at gatherings like this. Why so?
Because they can be so versatile. One person here at Wisconsin Public Radio said that they make an apple and sweet potato casserole. Checking the internet, I find that apples are a great way to lighten a lot of vegetable casseroles. To certainly add that sweetness you'll always find in an apple, somebody suggested cook parsnips and apples together in gingered broth, whether you want chicken or vegetable, and then puree them. And it makes a great alternative to mashed potatoes.
What would gingered broth be?
Ginger in your broth.
So you just saute it in a little bit and then add more
and then,
broth?
Exactly. I like fresh ginger for this, but powdered ginger mixed in with your broth would be just as good. Believe it or not, Italians make an apple risotto, which would be a great dish to pass. You can either make that, again, with broth, or some people snark it up with Worcestershire sauce, and that would be a great accompaniment to just about anything on the table. One nice thing to keep in mind is that if you're using apples, if you want something that's going to hold its shape, easy to find, Granny Smith all the way. But if you're looking for something that's going to cook down into a sauce-like consistency, there are four apples, Fuji, Gala, Cortland, and Empire. Not only do they cook down well, these apples don't brown very quickly. So if you're going to make some sort of cold salad with fresh apples in, keep those four varieties in mind, and your dish will look great all through the buffet.
Let's go to the phones, and Susie in New Berlin has an idea for us. Hi, Susie.
Hello. You were talking before about hot dishes in crock pots, and this one would work very well for it. You can make it way ahead of time. In fact, it tastes better the second day. It's one of those. It's sauerkraut and noodles. It's kind of a bastardization of a dish that was always served on at the Friday fish fries at one of the Catholic churches in Cudahy. But it's basically a great big yellow onion sautéed in the fat from a pound of bacon that you've just cut up in small pieces and then sautéed. And then you put in about a pound of sliced mushrooms, and then a little brown sugar and caraway seeds if you like, and then a bag of cooked noodles and a big can of sauerkraut, or a big bottle. I actually like the jarred stuff better, and or fresh. And then you just let it cook, and a little bit of salt, maybe a little bit of pepper, and you just let it cook. And it kind of all melts together, and, oh, it's really, really good.
Wow. Now, you're talking egg noodles, correct?
Egg noodles, yeah.
Okay,
sorry.
Great.
Or, the German noodles. I can't think of the name of them.
Kluski? I know, that's Polish.
Kluski noodles is actually what I was thinking of.
Okay.
And those are the best ones with it, I think. But
Those are going to be a little bit thinner, right?
Kluski noodles are thick, and they're kind of like the noodles that are in Campbell's chicken noodle soup. They're thick, but not wide.
That's it. Great.
And how does that go over when you take it to a party?
Well, most of the time it goes over extremely well. I've mostly served it in the Milwaukee area, but I served it in Minneapolis, and it goes over really well there. I had it at a group party. It was a dancing party. We were going to be doing folk dancing, and had a big potluck before that in the Madison area, and everybody loved it. A lot of times people are a little afraid to try it at first. Ooh, sauerkraut, but... Once, actually, it mellows out quite a bit, especially because of the brown sugar and bacon and all of that, and it's just wonderful, I think.
Well, thanks so much for that idea, Susie. I have to tell you, you had me at the browning the onions in the fat from a pound of bacon, and the sauerkraut was just gravy on top of that. So
now, and of course, if you are concerned, are there any vegetarians, you can always use butter. Claudine in Neosho gave me the suggestion of make a dish with cabbage, because cabbage is one of the few foods where almost no one has a problem with. Maybe it might make you burp, but there's not really an allergic reaction. So I, of course, immediately thought of my grandmother's rotkohl, red cabbage, sweet and sour with a little vinegar, little apples, sometimes bacon, sometimes brown sugar. There are as many ways to make rotkohl as there are German grandmas in Wisconsin. So that's another great way to bring cabbage to a party.
Well, we're talking to Food Friday regular Lori Skelton now about holiday side dishes. And we want to know, what do you bring to potluck parties? What's your go-to side dish? What's the best side dish you've ever had at a party? Call in with your ideas and recipes now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're picking up our discussion now with Food Friday regular Lori Skelton about holiday potluck greatest hits.
What do you usually bring to potluck parties? What if you don't know what other dishes will be there? What's your go-to party contribution? Call in now and share at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we're going to go back to our callers now. We've got Fred on the line in Madison. Fred, hi.
Hey, I missed the side dish portion, but usually I bring a rabbit to potlucks, make it a day ahead of time in the pressure cooker, and then brown it again in the frying pan with some onions and garlic, and then use chicken casserole recipes. It is always a big hit, and when people ask for the recipe and I give it to them, they're always pleasantly surprised. Side dishes, I usually use picnic beans, always made with bacon and the beans soaked in the pan drippings from making the bacon.
So what was this item again, Fred, this last one?
Picnic beans, picnic style beans.
Picnic beans, okay, gotcha.
Several different kinds of beans and some bacon, maybe some ground venison fried in the bacon fat, and brown sugar and seasonings.
All right, Fred, thank you. Well, Lori, we've got some beans and some rabbit there. What do you think?
Well, I never say no to rabbit, although I would have to know my guests really, really well before I'd spring that on them. I know not everyone's a fan of eating a bunny, even though I am.
And I am too, so Fred, you're always welcome at my potlucks.
And I had a pet rabbit, so I'm okay. With the other camp that thinks they're cute and fuzzy.
And beans are certainly a marvelous option, especially if you can figure out a way to do picnic beans for a vegetarian crowd. There you've got your protein. I'm not quite sure that you can substitute butter the way you do bacon for picnic beans. I'll have to work on that. Mm-hmm. But good ideas.
So, Lori, you have a savory bread pudding recipe that you made in preparation for this segment. What goes into it?
I was a little hesitant to include this because I know some people are having gluten issues. But if you can find a really good gluten-free bread, you're home free. This was another piece of deliciousness I brought in for the pledge drive. Somebody suggested a bread pudding with caramelized onions and oil-cured olives. So I started with a recipe that Mark Bittman had on the New York Times website for a savory bread pudding that had mushrooms in it. and substituted the olives in for the mushrooms. His includes Parmesan and Swiss cheese and milk, but no eggs in the custard. What you do is you butter a 3-quart baking dish, put your bread in, put the milk and the cheese on top of that, and then weigh it down with a plate so that the bread soaks up everything. Then you mix in your caramelized onions and your olives and bake for about 35 minutes. So it's not a heavy, eggy custard the way you'd normally have with a dessert bread pudding, but there's still enough dairy in there that the bread soaks it up. It was delicious, more so than I expected. Again.
That was yummy. And it wasn't a negative comment. The only thing that some people were surprised that this was savory, they were going, something, a sweet bread pudding, and Kalamata olives and Swiss cheese. Yep. But once that, it was delicious.
And there you can also play around. I used a mild Emmental cheese. If you want something a little bit more hefty, maybe use a Jarlsberg or something. What you want is a semi-soft cheese to be grated. You don't want a really sharp cheddar.
And what about the bread? Do you want something that's got some heft to it, or do you want something that's going to immediately be nice and soft?
I'd say go for the medium here. You don't want bread that you have to hew with an axe. But I'd get a decent loaf of, the bread you'd use for a sub sandwich.
Okay.
And then let that sit for a day and then tear it up into bite-sized pieces and throw it in.
Nice. Well, and I should point out, Lori, that the recipe for that broccoli, chop and toss salad is up on the Central Time Facebook page.
Right.
And I suppose people can Google for the Mark Bittman one, Mark Bittman bread pudding.
Yes, you can. Start with the New York Times and then just get creative with whatever you want to throw in and make it savory.
Nice. So let's go back to our callers now. Another one here from Anne in Delafield. Anne, hi.
Hi. Let me take you off the speakerphone.
Great. So what is your go-to potluck recipe?
So this is a cheater's recipe, and I don't usually do that, but one day I'm a realtor and I had to show houses late into the afternoon and go to a Christmas party, and I was exhausted, and I don't know if I can use the store's name, but I went to Costco, and they have these little pans, or they're not so little, but a pan of pre-made macaroni and cheese, which I had my eye on, but that seemed too bland. And then I passed an aisle that had dips, and there was an artichoke jalapeno cream, cream cheese.
Wow.
Dip. Yep. And a light went on. I took it home. I added some additional grated cheddar cheese and a bit of milk, so it all mixed together. And it makes a 9 by 13 pan of this mac and cheese. Then I put breadcrumbs, buttered breadcrumbs on the top and baked it. And people fought over it. And for the past 3 years in a row, they all call me and say, "Are you bringing the mac and cheese?"
Wow.
That's really great.
They think I made it from scratch.
And there was some effort and ingenuity that went into that. I applaud you for that. That sounds great. And thank you for that. So a cheater one, Lori. Nothing wrong with that.
No. The holidays certainly call out ingenuity in a lot of people. And that's a really, you didn't just show up with somebody else's. You took it home, you made it your own, and then you brought it to the party. That's perfectly fine in my book. So what do you guys bring?
Well, actually, that last caller's story reminded me, I love cooking, and I like trying new things, and it's always asked of me rather insistently that I bring the same thing for like family holidays and parties. And it is kind of a cheater recipe. It's a corn casserole, and it has 6 ingredients. It's 1 egg, 1 cup of sour cream, 1 stick of butter. You can do half of that and even it out with canola if you're feeling virtuous. a can of cream corn, a can of kernel corn, and a box of Jiffy corn bread mix. And you mix it all together. Let it kind of ferment a little bit in the bowl, and then put it in a 9 by 13 and bake it for an hour at 350. And it is delicious. And one of the best things about it is you can reheat it about 20 times and it never dries out.
Wow. Yeah. My mom has made that. We've never gone to the reheat stage. It's gone instantly.
I have an artichoke dip that I like to make, and it's actually a Land O'Lakes recipe. So this is not very highbrow here, but it's so delicious. It has artichoke hearts and sun-dried tomatoes. This is where it gets a little kicky. And some feta cheese and Swiss cheese.
Okay.
And it's super yummy. It bakes and it's bubbly. I love artichokes, though. As do you, Lori, as we know.
Well,
previous food Fridays.
I was going to say, when I go to my family's Christmas party next week, I'm taking the artichoke dip that I came up with earlier this year for a Food Friday segment.
Excellent.
Several family members were like, how come we don't get to taste this? So I'm heading down to Delavan with the artichokes, folks.
Good
Never
choice.
Fear.
Well, Lori, thanks as always for being with us today.
My pleasure.
That was Lori Skelton, one of WPR's in-house foodies and a Food Friday regular. You can check out the Chop and Toss salad recipe, which is up on the Central Time Facebook page.